Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. On March 23rd, Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued an order postponing all elective operations and procedures that he said are not immediately medically necessary, and he included abortions in that category. Reproductive rights advocates say, though, that procedure is necessary and it's time sensitive. What is happening with legal abortion in Texas right now? Call in with questions and comments. The number is 833-877-8255 or 833-TPR-TALK. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org, tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined this half hour with Jeffrey Hans, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of South Texas. Jeffrey, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David.
Also with us, Amanda Williams, executive director of the Lilith Fund for Reproductive Equality. And Lilith and Amanda, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
Jeffrey Hans, if a woman in Texas needed an abortion, could she get one?
I'm sorry, say that again, David. I didn't
catch that. If a woman in Texas right now needed an abortion, could she get one?
There would be a very, very, very rare exception that the provider would have to make in order to comply with the governor's order. Because the governor's order says that a procedure can only go forward if the patient would be at risk for serious adverse medical consequence or death, as determined by the patient's physician. And then when you couple that with what Paxton said in his enforcement press statement, I think when you put those two sentences together, I think there's a very narrow opportunity for a physician to help someone.
So Planned Parenthood is in compliance with this executive order from Governor Abbott?
Yes, right now we have 167 women on a waiting list, desperately hoping to get some legal relief from the courts that would allow us to help them with the time-sensitive abortion care that they need right now, that they needed yesterday and the day before and the day before.
Amanda Williams at Lilith Fund for Reproductive Equality, what is your reaction to what is happening?
I mean, you know, we're absolutely outraged, but not surprised that anti-choice politicians would use this opportunity to play politics and score political points. But this is a new low. And I mean, we talk to people every day who need an abortion and are really angry and scared and confused right now. And at this point, the people that we're helping are having to travel, you know, across state lines to get this time-sensitive, essential health care.
On the phones, let's go to the phones now. Deborah McNabb is on the line, and hang on 1 second. And Deborah McNabb, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, David. I'm a retired gynecologist, and I'm pursuing a PhD that includes bioethics. One point I'd like to make is most people don't realize that a full-term labor delivery and postpartum period carries a 10 to 14 times risk of significant illness and death over a first trimester abortion. Also, I know the governor said that he was concerned about hospital beds, which abortions do not require, and personal protective equipment, which abortions do not require, particularly medical abortions, which are a very high percentage of the abortions in Texas. Finally, I'd like to mention that the states that have been hardest hit with COVID-19, California and New York, have not found it necessary to make abortions illegal. One more point, women who have money can still fly to Denver, rent a hotel room, and have an abortion, but 75% of women who request abortions in Texas are poor.
All right, Deborah McNabb, thank you for making those points. Thank you for calling in. So Jeffrey Hans, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of South Texas, get to the rationale that we heard from Governor Abbott as to why, and from our Ken Paxton, our attorney general, that abortions should be banned in Texas right now. He says that they're not medically necessary. So first, let's take a look at that. Is that true?
No, it's not true. I mean, women who are seeking an abortion are doing so for reasons that are essential to their lives. And for Mr. Abbott and Mr. Paxton to act like they know what is or isn't essential in someone's life, it violates the personhood of a woman. And that's just unacceptable.
So it's they say it's not medically necessary, and that the equipment, like the personal protective equipment and other things that they would use in a procedure, would be better used dealing with the pandemic, the COVID-19. Jeffrey.
But that's where they're wrong. I mean, when you follow what they've said and you try to connect the dots logically, it falls apart. They say that they're very concerned about hospital capacity and the personal protective equipment supplies and inventories at hospitals. Abortion care at Planned Parenthood South Texas does not use up hospital capacity, nor do we use the OR-grade hospital PPE that are on the shelves at hospitals. So the two reasons he says he's doing this, if you actually explored those reasons, abortion care at Planned Parenthood does not pose a problem for either of those two concerns. And then when you look at medication abortion in particular, it is the placing of pills, tablets, inside a woman's hand. And so to say that, as Paxton made very clear, that medication abortion also is impermissible at this time, it just makes no sense at all. And we implored the state government to clarify. We asked, you know, surely you don't mean that you're excluding all abortion care as non-essential, and you surely don't mean that medication abortion would fall into this category in particular. And we couldn't even get a response, which is why we had to, quite frankly, grudgingly waste the court's time to bring this lawsuit against the governor to try to get some relief from federal court system to say that, you know, this is just – someone's got to call foul on this.
So when you say the medically induced abortion, so the pill is provided, RU486, I don't know if that's still being used or not. And so the under Texas law, that has to be provided by a doctor in the setting of a clinic?
Yes, that's the other thing. You know, they for years have had retrograde abortion regulations in Texas, and now during this pandemic, those unnecessary, overregulated standards are creating problems. The medication is called mifepristone. It was originally developed and under the name RU486 in France, but it's mifepristone. It is a tablet. It is something that she swallows. And there are other states where this is happening under the care of an advanced nurse practitioner. There are other states and situations where medication abortion is happening through telemedicine, and no one even sees each other. And so if the governor was actually concerned about personal protective equipment and coronavirus transmission, why doesn't he issue an executive order suspending regulations around medication abortion?
Interesting question. We will get to the answer. We'll hear what the answer could be. We'll have to speculate since we're not hearing directly from the governor. But this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about abortion access during the time of coronavirus, and we'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about abortion access during the time of coronavirus. In the next half hour, coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be talking about houses of worship and how they are deemed essential right now, and what are the consequences of that decision. But back to the discussion about abortion access, and you can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Amanda Williams Williams is the executive director of the Lilith Fund for Reproductive Equity. And Amanda, so does this seem to you that this is Governor Abbott and other statewide elected officials like Ken Paxton, the attorney general, using this coronavirus situation to basically give their political base a biscuit?
Absolutely. I mean, last I checked, the governor and attorney general are not doctors, and they are certainly not scientists. And, you know, this is the time where we should be deferring to the experts. This is, again, a public health crisis, and they're using this opportunity to play politics. I mean, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and seven other experts medical associations have called for hospital systems, surgical facilities, and other community-based health systems to recognize that abortion is an essential and time-sensitive service. Why aren't they listening to them?
But his base, the base that has put Governor Abbott in office, and the same with Ken Paxton and other Republicans statewide elected in Texas, they're very pro-life, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And so this type of decision varies from state to state. We're seeing in some states that tend to be more of a shade of blue, they seem that abortion clinics are essential, and this is the right for a woman to choose her reproductive destiny is something that is protected. But in red states like Texas, not so much. Is that your observation, Amanda Williams?
I mean, absolutely. You know, they claim to be pro-life. They claim to care about people's lives, right? But this is very obviously a political ploy to distract from what people need right now to improve their livelihoods, to take care of themselves. We need these politicians to be focusing on fair wages, paid sick leave, protections and flexibility for workers, you know, a healthcare system that works for everyone. And right now is not the time for bans on abortion.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, 833-877-8255 with Aaron. Aaron, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much. So obviously the priority for this argument, I think, is the health and safety and a woman's right to choose. But I think that we also need to talk about some of the fiscal responsibilities associated with this as well. I mean, we are in the middle of a pandemic, and how fair is it or fiscally responsible is it to sort of insist that these women – you know, post-pandemic, we're still going to have, I think, a shortage of resources in healthcare. A lot of people's livelihoods have already been sort of are dubious or unclear. And so on top of that, we're now going to say that the requirement or expectation should be that you should also assume a fiscal responsibility.
All right. Aaron, thank you for that call. Amanda Williams, Executive Director of the Lilith Fund for Reproductive Equity. What's your assessment of looking at it, I mean, a lot of these women, as you mentioned, are low income, and now they're probably really hurting with the economic downturn.
Absolutely. I mean, abortion funds primarily serve low-income women of color. They're working, they're caring for their families. Many of our clients at the Lilith Fund are working in the service industry and have low-wage jobs and don't provide paid sick leave. We know that mandated closures of bars, restaurants, and retailers, these workers will be hit hardest by the economic fallout of this pandemic, and that's exactly what we're hearing on our hotlines. So this is absolutely an economic justice issue, and now these same workers who no longer have any money to put towards their procedure are forced to somehow come up with hundreds of dollars to travel potentially thousands of miles across the state, you know, take care of childcare, figure out transportation, figure out lodging, take, you know, if they have, you know, meals to pay for children they might be traveling with. I mean, these expenses just really pile up on top of having to pay for the procedure itself. It can be nearly impossible.
Jeffrey Hans with the Planned Parenthood of South Texas. If you could talk about how coronavirus, the concern about becoming in contact with another person who's in transmission, you could pick it up from them, how that complicates travel that some women are being asked to engage in. And also, if a person who is pregnant gets in contact with coronavirus, it's a pretty risky process right there.
I mean, I think if someone is pregnant and comes in contact with the coronavirus and becomes ill, I think anyone who's managing her prenatal care would say this is not a good idea to become to become sick at this time. For women who are trying to avoid pregnancy or trying to bring their pregnancies to an end because they feel they cannot become a parent at this time, traveling, every bit of advice that we're getting about social distancing and sheltering in place says that people should not be taking trips at this time, should be avoiding travel if they can. And so why aren't we letting women access the health care that is essential to them close to home? The 167 women that are waiting at Planned Parenthood right now, they fit the profile exactly of what Amanda was talking about, in that their lives are already economically stretched. They've had disappointing news because of the economic fallout of this pandemic. And then when they hear they can't get the abortion care that they're seeking, they're inconsolable.
But I have read that we don't know about coronavirus specifically, but we do know that pregnant women who have a history of respiratory conditions, it is a concern when there is of having respiratory complications during their pregnancy, and which is something that is obviously connected to the coronavirus, and being put at risk of becoming coronavirus positive at this time if you are pregnant is something to be avoided. Let me go to a caller. This is Jim. And Jim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
No, well, thank you. I was wondering if someone could expand on I keep hearing the word that they need an abortion versus want one. And I'd like to better understand why a person needs one versus wants one.
All right, Jim, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Let's go to Amanda Williams with the Lilith Fund.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jim. You know, as someone who's had an abortion myself, I can tell you that when you're pregnant and you don't want to be and you have no intention to become a parent, and you know in your heart that it is not the best decision for you and your family, absolutely, it is a dire need. Your whole entire body becomes a war zone, becomes a complete crisis. You cannot function when you are pregnant and you do not want to be. Forcing someone to, you know, have a child basically against their will, forcing someone to remain pregnant because of, you know, state laws, this becomes a very dire need for so, so many people. And not to mention that it can literally mean life or death. So not only is it a human right, but when people who have abortions say that it is something that is needed, we should just listen to them. Hands down, we should just trust what they're saying and defer to them, because any person who decides to have an abortion is doing so because they know their own lives and want to obtain bodily autonomy to care for themselves,
right,
and their futures and their families.
And Jeffrey Hans, at this point, though, a person may not actually want an abortion, but they can need an abortion. I mean, it is not something that people absolutely want to have. They go in frequently with the sense of, I'd rather not have to be here, but this is a necessary situation.
I think we should hearken back to what the first caller said, the OBGYN who called in. What I would tell Jim is carrying a pregnancy to term carries with it much greater risk to her life than having an abortion. And I don't think that anyone other than the woman herself, and certainly not the governor and the attorney general of Texas, can be telling a woman that you must endure the medical risks that are going to come to you if you carry a pregnancy to term, especially when you do not want to. Even if she wants to become a parent, accepting those risks is a decision that only a woman herself can make, and no one can take that decision-making away from her. It is morally unacceptable.
Let's go to caller Jerry. Jerry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Jerry. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah. My girlfriend and I have been together for quite some time. She's been on the pill the whole time, and this last month she missed her period. We heard, thank God for NPR, that Texas had made the announcement they're not doing this, and we started scrambling. I got furloughed from my job because it's non-essential, and now we're having to spend our last bit of savings to fly to Denver. I am very, very disgusted with Greg Abbott and his right-wing conservative Christian agenda. These are not my beliefs. My belief is it is absolutely a woman's right to choose her destiny, and it should not be anybody else's choice to tell her what to do. I really wanted to share this story with the public just because this is absolutely disgraceful and should be unacceptable. I cannot believe I had to fly to Denver during a pandemic. My girlfriend cried for 3 straight days when she found out that we had to fly to Denver.
Jerry, thank you for calling in. I'm going to go straight to another caller. This is Michaela. And Michaela, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. So I recently started an ad hoc abortion fund called the Buckle Bunny Fund, and it's a queer reproductive justice collective. And so our mission is to financially assist people in the South obtain abortions during COVID-19 and to also break down gendered language regarding abortion care, because not only women obtain abortions, trans men and non-binary people also get abortions. And in the past 36 hours, we were able to raise over $1,000 and obtain abortions for a dozen people in the South. And we encourage people to keep donating, and that if they need abortions, to contact us at bucklesbunnyfund@gmail.com, and we will take care of the financial cost completely.
Say the name one more time slowly.
bucklebunniesfund@gmail.com.
All right, Michaela, thank you for that. Amanda Williams, this is kind of what Lilith Fund also does. Can you talk about that real quick?
Absolutely. And I'm glad to hear that more folks are interested in supporting this right now. It's super, super important. So the Lilith Fund is the oldest fund in Texas. We've been around since 2001, and we provide direct financial assistance for people seeking abortion care in Austin, Houston, and San Antonio. And so we operate 2 hotlines, an English and a Spanish line, and we do whatever we can to support people who need abortion. And for us, primarily that means covering some of the costs associated with obtaining that care.
Jeffrey Hans, so there is this order is expected to is supposed to expire on April 21st. Do you think that's going to be extended?
Well, I don't know, but if you look at the things that are happening from other officials in government, Nuremberg and Wolf, both here in Bexar County, are going to be extending our shelter-in-place orders. The governor has already said schools are going to be closed through May 4th. And so if he extends this order about medical procedures, then how long is he expecting women to wait? And I just think it's completely unacceptable that he's taking advantage of a pandemic so he can squeeze women's rights about their lives and their futures. So I'm really worried about how long this is going to go on.
This went immediately to the courts, and it's been batted back and forth, up and down. Where are we right now? What's happening next?
You know, we filed to challenge the governor. We got relief very quickly from a federal judge. Then the state of Texas took that relief, and they asked the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans to reconsider it. The Fifth Circuit suspended our relief, and now we're waiting for the Fifth Circuit to say something further. But I am telling you, we are not going to stop when it comes to protecting our patients. I don't care how far we have to carry this thing, but if someone thinks we're going to put this down and accept this situation, think again, because we are not stopping.
Now, I have read that there are some providers who are going to be operating in defiance. Is that happening, Jeffrey?
I can only speak for Planned Parenthood South Texas, and I would not want to speak for anyone else. Right now, we have 167 women waiting because I need to get some kind of legal relief so that I can tell the staff here to call those women back and help them. And every day that number grows, and every day Texans should be calling the governor, just as Jerry said a few minutes ago, that this is unacceptable and it's got to stop.
Jeffrey Hans is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood South Texas. Amanda Williams, executive director of the Lilith Fund for Reproductive Equity. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. When we come back from the break, we're looking at houses of worship, how they are deemed essential during the pandemic, and how are those houses of worship reacting to that? How are they proceeding? And you can call in. The number is 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.